Okay, open up your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 9. You ever heard of a place called Lodibar? There's a lot of people that are still, there's a lot of Christians that are living a Lodibar lifestyle. The Bible tells us that lack of knowledge of His Word. It tells us that God's people perish for lack of knowledge of His Word. God's people perish for lack of knowledge of the Word. That's, you know, born-again Christians can perish because they don't have a knowledge of the Word. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. We'll just start at verse 1. David said, now this is after, this you got to understand the whole thing here. You got to get it, put it all into perspective. But David had been anointed to be the king of Israel. But Saul wasn't having it, so he pursued David all over the mountain. But David will not lay a hand on Saul because David had made a covenant with Jonathan. So as far as David was concerned, absolutely everybody who was related to Jonathan was off limits. Well, they finally had a big fight, a big battle, and Saul died and Jonathan died. And in fact, David killed the man that killed Saul. But after the dust settled, in verse 1, said David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was at the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodibar. Lodibar was a, that was the end of the road. I mean, it'd be kind of like Terlingua. Yeah, you're just at the end of the road. You can't go any farther. And it was just a desolate place. And it was a hard place to live. It was a hard place to be. It was a poor place. It wasn't where... It wasn't a destination point. It was not where you would choose to retire. It was not where you would choose to be. But I want you to notice that there's three different types of people. There's Mephibosheths. Mephibosheth, he was an heir to great prosperity, and he had no idea of what was left him, because of a covenant that was made before he was born. Mephibosheth was broken down in his feet, and he lived in abject poverty. He lived in a place without any hope. He lived in a place where people told him that the king wanted him dead. He lived in a place where people told him lies about people that wanted to bless him. They got him out of there in a hurry, and in the rush of escaping, the handmaid dropped him and crippled his feet. So he grew up thinking King David was an evil man. He grew up thinking that King David wanted to harm him. He grew up thinking that he was just going to live a life of poverty forever. He didn't know anything about this covenant that Jonathan made with David. He didn't know anything about how much David loved Jonathan and how much he loved everybody that was related to Jonathan. Look over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Hold your finger in Samuel. We'll be back there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, you probably don't have to hold your finger there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now there's people that are running around, born again, that are acting like they're aliens from the covenants of promise. And sometimes they get taught that way. Sometimes false teaching keeps people in a bad place. But here's the thing. Bibles are readily available. I mean, we give Bibles away. If somebody shows up and they need a Bible, we give them a Bible. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. One of the most dangerous things a person can do is go to church and sit in the pew and not open his Bible for himself and see if what that preacher is telling him lines up with the Word of God. And more importantly, a man should go home and just read that thing for himself. Read that Bible. At least get it in your heart so you know what's in there. Read it through like a novel at least once, and then go back and find the stuff that catches your curiosity and read that. I'll tell you why that's so important. Because what the Word of God says is far, far more important and far more true and far above anything any preacher might say. I've sat in church services and listened to preachers just tell one lie right after another about God. And people shout hallelujah. And it's like, you should read this thing so you know what's in there. This is your main defense from false teachings. Another kind of people that we're going to talk about are the other people in Mephibosheth's life. See, that there was King David, he was concerned about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, he was listening to what other people had to say. These other people, they showed domination and manipulation and intimidation towards people of low degree. And they seemed to have little to offer to him. See, Mephibosheth was at the end of the road, so he was used to getting pushed around. He was used to getting bullied. You know, we got a lot of people in this country that have accepted the idea that they can get bullied around and that there's nothing that they can do about it. I tell people, I say, look, you have access to the Bible. You have access to the same God that we have. You have access to the Constitution. You have access to all of this information. All of this information that was meant for you to read and meant for you to live by and survive by, if you don't open it up, you're not going to know what's in there. That's why I tell people, I said, the only limitations that you have on your life are the ones that you accept from somebody else. Now, Mephibosheth, he had been told things from the time he was a little kid that this is the way it is, so he had all these limitations on him. He didn't know that he could go to the table of the king and eat all he wanted. There's a lot of Christians that don't know about these promises in the Bible because nobody ever told them, but more importantly, they never opened up the Bible for themselves to read what was in there and find out what they had. And then sometimes they'll find something in the Bible, they'll go ask a preacher, and they say, no, that's not for today. I was curious. God impressed me I should read the Bible. So I started reading the Bible. But he didn't tell me to go to church. So I just kept reading the Bible and reading the Bible and reading and reading and reading and reading. At least now you go to church. So I went to church, and I didn't know what was going on, but this preacher was saying something, and I was getting these checks in my spirit that saying, that's a lie. That's not what the Bible says. So I went to another church, and the same thing happened. I went to another church, and the same thing happened. I didn't know that I had the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of me, and he had gotten enough word in me to defend myself against that stuff. See, if we don't know what's in there, we'll follow anything. That's the way people are. People will find somebody that seems to be important, and if they don't know what the Word says, they don't know what the Constitution says, they'll follow that guy to the, right off the edge of the cliff. We got a whole bunch of them following these politicians right over the edge of the cliff. There's a whole bunch of people in church every Sunday that are following their pastor right over the edge of the cliff to the pit of hell. They will not hear salvation in their church. Look at Luke chapter 21. Verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither too much. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with godly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall be thrown down. That happened. There were some bullies that came in and took care of that temple. Because there were some religious folks that were showing a form of religion that was acceptable to them, but they weren't showing any spirituality towards God. They weren't living towards God. They were living unto themselves. And then their whole world got wrecked and they got scattered all over the place. That temple got thrown down. Now the third kind of people that we're going to talk about is David. The important thing you need to understand about David is he remembered his covenant. See, he remembered this covenant that he made with Jonathan, and he asked if there is anybody left that he could bless. You know something? When the children of Israel were being held in bondage in Egypt, they had a covenant with God, and it slipped away from them. But God remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham. And he got a guy named Moses to go in there and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, I'm going to tell you something. They were in a covenant of grace when they were in Egypt. They were in a covenant of blessing because of what somebody else did. But they lost track of it. They didn't know about it. They didn't understand it no more. And it slipped away from them. And then they were living a life of slavery and bondage and, you know, it's a horrible life. Kind of like Mephibosheth. He had a covenant of grace because of what somebody else did. But he was living in Lodibar. He was living a horrible life. He was living in poverty. He was living, he wasn't getting enough to eat. He probably didn't have a very good house to live in. Things were bad for him. But he had great provision that was already paid for because of what somebody else did. How many Christians do we have running around that are living in poverty, living in sickness, living in fear, living in all these things? All these people, they go to church every Sunday, every time the doors swing open, but they're living in a constant state of lack because they don't know about the covenant of promises. All these promises that have been given to them because of what somebody else did. They got born again, hallelujah. And that's about all they know. That's why it's so important to open this wheel up and find out what God has given to you. You know, it's an interesting thing. I tell people to read the New Testament. Start in the book of, you know, Acts. You know, start. You can read the Gospels. But literally, the whole thing is about this thick. That's not very much reading. The Old Testament is twice as thick. And they won't even read that little bit. And sometimes when they do crack the Bible open, they want to read the Old Testament, and then they try to figure out what they need to do in there. And that's a horrible idea. You should never go in there looking for something to do, because you'll find it. If you go into the Old Testament, it's a wonderful adventure, but when you go into the Old Testament, go in there looking for types and shadows of Jesus. Look and find out different areas where these sacrifices, where Jesus fulfilled those sacrifices and got redemption for you in some area. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. All the way back. Exodus chapter 2, verse 24 says, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. What happened? They started groaning. They were complaining. They were in misery. And they were groaning. And God heard them and remembered his covenant with Abraham. God's always going to remember the covenant with Jesus. We need to remember the covenant with Jesus. See, when you understand something about covenant, you're going to understand all this stuff has already been paid for by somebody else, and you have become an heir to it. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. See, there's where God made this covenant with Abraham. And that didn't go away when Abraham died. That covenant was perpetual. It just kept going generation after generation. And the deal was, when somebody got to be the age of accountability, then they would go and they'd say, I want to be a part of this covenant. And if they didn't want to be a part of that covenant, they'd go and say, I don't want to be a part of this covenant. But they had to make their choice. We're the same way. We have to choose whether we want to be a part of this covenant. When we get confronted, when we finally get old enough to make decisions, and somebody tells about Jesus, we're at that crossroads. We can choose, yeah, I want to be in this covenant. I want to give my life to Jesus. Or no. But it's always by our own free will. It's important for people to understand that God does not send anybody to hell. They choose their path. He gave us a free will. But we do have to make a choice one way or the other. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? Here's the thing. We're attached to this earth. We've got these earthen vessels. We're always going to have that attachment to the flesh. And Paul said he had to keep under his flesh. That means he always had to keep pounding his flesh down. When we come out of the world and get born again, you know, there's a lot of things. You know, Christians have a lot of baggage when they get born again, a lot of them. You know, there's some of them get born again when they're little. Thank God they don't have to go through all the trial and error stuff that a lot of them have to go through. But when they get born again and they come out of the world, there's a lot of stuff attached to them. You know, I guess the only way you can describe redemption is it's a messy process. I would just love it if people could just get born again and all, they're just, everything is just hunky-dory. But that's just not reality. I got left with that idea one time. I was asking a preacher. I was sincerely asking for help. I needed help, and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, I don't know why you got all these problems. I don't see how you're even born again. When I got born again, I quit smoking pot, and I didn't go fishing on Sunday no more. I just went to church, and I thought, well, hallelujah. It didn't work that slick for me. I was born again, but there was some cleaning up that had to happen. A lot of people are the same way. We're like onions. You know, we just start peeling one layer at a time until we get down to the heart of things. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. Here's the thing. God made this covenant with Jesus. Jesus is the covenant head. And he had to die on that cross and come back to life so that he could be the testator of that will. That's why we call it a new and living will. The New Testament is a new living will. Jesus is set at the right hand of God to watch over his covenant to make sure that it comes forth in our lives. What he needs is a little bit of cooperation from us. The Bible tells us to learn of him. The more we learn of him, the more of his promises are going to come true in our life. The more of his life is going to come into our life. But we're going to have to learn of Jesus, not a doctrine. See, a lot of people get confused. They think because they're going to church that they're learning of Jesus, and in fact, they're getting filled with doctrine. And that won't do. The doctrine of man will not do. In fact, sometimes the doctrine of man has taken people so far away from Christianity that you can't even recognize it anymore. I've seen a lady, she's been posting a lot, said, love everybody. And I thought, what in the world is this? It's important to love everybody. She's gaslighting people. You got to love everybody. Love everybody. And then I found out that and she was a Methodist preacher. So I thought, she's really pushing this love thing. And so I kind of got to really studying her and looking at her profile and looking at this stuff. Well, they were accepting the gay community, the gay lesbian community, and wanting everybody that Jesus would love them, so it'd be okay for a gay marriage. No, it's not. Yes, Jesus does love gay people and lesbians. He loves them with all his heart. He loves them so much, he got on the cross and died for them. But he does not accept homosexuality. He does not accept gay marriage. He does not accept that. That's not okay. It's not okay to have a gay pastor. It's just not. God still loves them. He loves the sinner. He hates the sin. And he doesn't want them getting into positions of prominence where he can lead more people off to the, lead more people astray. That's not acceptable. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. You have absolutely saved us. You did a perfect work in us. And Father, we ask you that you help us catch up to what you did. We got a ways to go. But we ask you for your help. And we thank you for Holy Spirit who's here to show us how to get this word of faith right. Show us how to live by faith, live in liberty, and live in love. So Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.